Here we go.
Hey, are we live?
We are live.
Hot diggity dog. So where are we? Oh, we're in Wenatchee. Guess where we're at? Wenatchee Insurance. Yes. Look, that's Matt. I'm Susie.
And we're Suzilla, and we are talking about social media and the TikTok ban.
Oh my gosh, that's such a big thing, right? Well, I don't know. Okay. It's a big thing politically. And for the people who use TikTok as their primary conversation platform, because there's a lot of people who are making decent money on TikTok.
Let's back up a step.
Tell people what's going on.
HR 7521,
right?
Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act.
Oh, adversary controlled. So if it was Belgium, it would be less of an issue.
Was passed 352-65.
Okay,
it's targeting the parent company ByteDance, which is owned in China, to sell within 180 days or be forcibly removed from the app stores.
Okay.
That's the whole nutshell.
That doesn't sound very free market.
It's not very free market. Both our local representatives voted to ban.
Okay, so we're that's
both Kim Schreier and Dan Newhouse.
Right. So it's very bipartisan.
It is very bipartisan.
Which is an interesting thing to be bipartisan about, but hey.
Well, it's one of those things. It's a very politically charged topic.
It really is.
Because it's, as you pointed out, it's anti-free market.
This behavior is, yes.
It's completely anti-free market. It's anti-freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech is always one of those weird ones when you're talking about social media, though.
Well, if you look at it, you know, we're in a rural area, and I was reminded, you know, a long time ago, of the farm lines.
Okay. Oh, okay. Like the party lines?
Well, what happened back in the day, of my mother, when the telephones were just starting to roll out. They had farm lines where you could all pick up and chat on Saturday night using your landline.
Yeah, it was a party line is what they called it.
Yeah.
And if someone was calling, they would go through the switchboard and the literally physical operator would ring your home with your specific ring. So you know the call was for you.
Yeah.
But everyone would ring, but yours would be like the beam beam or whatever. So, yeah. But that doesn't stop, you know, Joan from down the road from picking up and listening to your conversation.
But you had these group conversations.
Exactly.
When we were young adults or slash kids, we had bulletin boards. We had chat boards.
Mid-20s, sir.
Young adults.
Not kids. Young adults. We were in our 20s. When the internet began, we had, yes, the bulletin boards, the chat boards.
They're still out there.
They're out there. That's how, I mean, it started with the whole college thing. And because that's where a lot of the internet kind of started, was communicating in government and colleges.
Yeah, I kind of knew about dial-ins.
Yeah.
A little bit earlier, thanks to, you know, pre-hackers.
Yeah. But either way, that's beside the point.
But
and
yeah.
It's always been a method of communicating for people who are not right next to each other.
Yeah. And as humans, we've used technology to do it. A good example is, you know, back in the beat poetry days, they used chat books.
Chat books, yes.
Cheap books that you'd put together on a copy machine, because it was pre-Xerox. Xerox in some cases.
Yeah, so we're dealing with the blue and the ink.
Yeah, the blue ink. You remember the drum?
The drum. I can't remember what that's called. A mimeograph.
Yeah, and you'd put these, you know, put them together. You'd sell them for you know, a quarter. Yeah. You know, maybe a dollar if you got really fancy. And you'd have ads, you know, talking about, hey, put, you know, send your money to blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And you'd get something.
And you would be in the bars doing open mic night, and they would be for sale there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be, actually, and there was another way to do that was people were doing the mail order.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a lot of mail commerce. It drives commerce.
It does. Absolutely does. TikTok, Facebook, Twitter X, whatever they call it these days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I just boomered bad.
Yeah.
They're all major financial drivers. They're big commerce sites. even though they mask themselves as social media. They may have started social media, but they have become major commerce drives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's an interesting quote. The biggest revolutionaries, mm-hmm. after the revolution is done, will become the biggest conservatives.
Okay, that's an interesting tack. That's an interesting
sense. Basically, you get your foot in the door, you've opened up, you've arrived, and oh my gosh, you close the door. So no one else new can come in.
Because you do not want somebody who has the same passion that you did stealing your thunder.
Yes, but is it your thunder to steal?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you've gotten in there, you threw a revolution, you took over, and now you want to be chief in charge and not it, and you don't want something. You don't want someone like you doing what you did.
Yeah. You don't want someone that's passionate with new ideas to come in and improve the situation.
No, so you become more conservative to the tactic you're using.
Huh?
Yeah, and that's expected.
But is it right?
That's a good question. I mean, if you're not open to progress, you're going to go stale. And if you go stale, you're going to foster dissent in the next generations. You've got to keep vital. If you lock down and become super, no, this is the way it is, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be, it's just going to cause a revolution.
Well, yeah, and it's very counterproductive when it comes to business.
No, absolutely.
Because business, even Oreo cookies have got different layers and stripes and techniques.
Layers. But people still have a tendency to go back to the original. Because the original was the original. Mm-hmm. That being said, the original is still a quality product, but they do like to freshen things up a little bit. And they've got, like the double stuff, which is basically a fat version of the same cookie. But it's also not the carrot cake Oreo, which exists, by the way. But that keeps the market fresh. It makes people thinking, oh, Oreo. And then even if they just buy the fancy Oreo once, they may go, Oreo, and go get, I want a regular Oreo. I want a classic Oreo. And they'll go buy Oreos.
Yeah. And at the same time, they haven't said, hey, I'm Oreo. There's no Hydrox.
That's true. They have not shut down the market on competitors, on Hydrox. Actually, do they still make Hydrox?
I believe Hydrox.
I don't know if they still make Hydrox, but they're still non-Oreo cream-filled sandwich cookies out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're fine, but they're not Oreos.
They're not Oreos.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that are out there that, there is no stuffed Oreos. Think about it. You got double stuffed, you've got different types of fillings, but you do not have just the outside edge of an Oreo.
Are you sure? What are those Oreos thins?
I've never seen one.
Well, I mean, there are chocolate wafer cookies out there. I bought them for recipes mostly. Mm-hmm. Now you can make me look, aren't you?
It's a matter of having competition in the free market.
And the competition in the free market is it energizes, it vitalizes the whole market, all of it. Not just that particular cookie, but I mean, the competition is good for a democratic free market society.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it.
Now, I've got a very, as I put it, I've got a small space on TikTok. I don't even have 1,000 followers. I make the world's boringest videos. There's none of me dancing on there.
Okay.
I use it as an information platform to get, to talk about insurance and the different aspects of it out there. Because I know that not all of my demographic are over the age of 35. I'm well beyond that.
Yes, you are.
And I know that there are other individuals that are well beyond that on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
However, there are, I think it's like 143 million Americans on TikTok.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
That is a ton of people.
And those people, I mean, that are watching TikTok or using TikTok?
That are on TikTok.
Okay, that have TikTok accounts. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people communicating with everybody else because it's actually a pretty easy platform to use.
Yeah, it's a very,
and that's part of it.
It is. I know that I'm just down the street. We got one of the super users, Moxie Rose.
Yeah. Yep.
She's done a great job in education in working with was it For the Love of It.
Yep, that's the name of the store she works for.
And getting that small business information out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And becoming a resource for not only just our community, but
nationwide. Worldwide, actually, at this point. I was watching, was it that Midwestern mom? She had a blurb this morning talking about how if it wasn't for TikTok, she wouldn't have met so many different people. She got CNN called her and said, "Hey, we want to talk to you about this."
She's amazing.
She's hot.
Well, yeah, with her hot dishes.
Well, yes, hot with her hot dishes, but she's also very well spoken. Mm-hmm. She's a really perfect example of someone who's taken this platform and flown with it. Mm-hmm. Recently divorced, trying to figure out what to do with her world, and stumbled into something that's working really. She's a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she just kind of took that and ran with it. But she was talking about how she met people like V from Under the Desk News and that Midwest and the North Omaha cat lady, crazy cat lady.
Actually, I don't know that one.
The Omaha crazy. I can't think of her name. You'd recognize her.
Okay.
And other people who are super users on social media, Facebook short form stuff. And those people connected her with, they're using her as kind of the spokesperson because she's, I don't know, she just is really relatable, I guess. And so she's the mainstream media, air quotes, is picking up on her too for interviews and things like that.
Okay. She's in that mid-century Americana.
Right.
With the whole, hey, here's a casserole.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
and even her look and even her voice.
And it's just something that plugs into that Americana car trip.
She's very relatable.
And
everyone knows somebody like her.
So
if they are not her, it's
the older generation.
Oh yeah. That's grandma thing. My mother was from Illinois, but my grandmother was from North Dakota, you know? So that Midwestern mom kind of talk with the hot dishes for everybody, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I totally, totally connect with this. Mm-hmm. A lot of people totally connect with this.
I think, Gen X and up do.
Yeah.
I don't think millennials down.
Really?
I think it'd be hard pressed because of I'm saying this and being honest is because of like the potluck culture is kind of a dying breed.
COVID did a lot of damage to potlucks.
It was even on the outs on the way.
It was, mostly because people get really competitive about it.
I think it's because of people don't get competitive enough. They don't have enough time they're able to dedicate.
Oh, so they end up buying that box of cookies.
So they bring the bag of chips.
Yeah, and that's all you have. You don't have the let's put together something awesome for this potluck. You get we'll just buy some vegetables at the store. You get the effort being put forth is, you're right, it's petering out because I don't know.
Look at it this way. And this is a really solid example. It's a very personal example.
Mm-hmm.
After your father died.
Yes.
And your family got together.
Yes.
there were different themes and we'd bring over different dishes. And that lasted for a good, what, 5-10 years?
Yeah.
And we would research, look through books, and find something amazing. To the point where we were kind of looked at by the rest of the family as this weird, snooty gourmet group.
Yeah.
Just because we were trying things. And we were verbally, but eventually those broke down because no one wanted to do that.
Well, I think
even though we were having fun.
I don't know. It's hard to say. There's a lot of reasons why those families.
There's a lot of different dynamics. A
lot of reasons why those families broke down.
That's a really good example of where we were, because we were young parents.
Yeah.
And we.
Well, parents of a youngling. We weren't young. We were older parents. But another, I think the last.
Freshly minted parents.
Freshly minted. There we go. I think the last real. Genuine potluck I remember was the Democrats' picnic.
What, 2018?
Probably, yeah. Before, it was the first pre-COVID.
That'd be 2019.
Yeah, 2018, 2019. Yeah. Was the Democrat picnic where it was a legit potluck. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last one we went to. And I think I brought taco salad because everyone likes taco salad. I used the big green bowl.
You sure? I don't think you've ever brought taco
salad.
I
did take taco salad to a potluck, but it might not have been that one. I don't know. Either way. Mm-hmm. But those are actually surprising. But there was the older folks who were attending were bringing home cooked dishes. Mm-hmm. The younger folks were bringing purchased stuff. It could be, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation about whether the millennials and the alpha generation, the next steps below our generation, the Gen X's, actually ever learned how to cook. There's been a lot of conversation about, actually there's some conversation about, well, can Gen X cook? It's like, well, that's a good question. Because we were raised with TV dinners in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, we were raised with, kind of a very...
We were feral.
Feral.
We were feral. We were raised with here's your Kraft macaroni and cheese. Go to town.
Yeah, you'd get a you'd look at see what's in the fridge, what's in the cabinets. Let's see if I can combine it to make it tasty.
That's right.
And that's why cooking shows have started.
Yeah, exactly. Now, to be fair, my mother did teach me how to cook, and I did learn a lot from cooking shows. Mm-hmm. As my proper knife skills came from cooking shows.
Well, one of the most interesting things that we did was probably the Camp Cook bulletin board.
Yeah, that was actually really interesting.
And this, because it relies on static posts and sharing, and you could comment on it in a very blog type format, kind of a group blog for today's context. Mm-hmm. That was 15 years ago or so.
Somewhere in that zone,
it's still out there.
Is it?
It is. But we would take pictures and share recipes. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple guys that did the YouTube thing. Mm-hmm. One of the folks, he was a camp chef.
Representative.
And yeah, he did, was cooking events for... Camp Chef, and he did like the Super Sports Warehouse.
Okay.
He did a couple.
Like a Sportsman's Warehouse kind of thing?
Sportsman's. Not Sportsman's. It was like a Cabela's.
Like a Cabela's or basketball
He was at the demonstration level at Cabela's.
Okay. And he would be, and mostly the Camp Chef is a lot of cast iron and outdoor camp cooking kind of stuff. Good quality products. They've got some great pieces out there. But
that arose from that social media format.
Yeah.
It's having that dialogue and is very important and very conductive towards business.
It is.
And it always has been there.
Yeah.
And I feel that some are either losing the sight because they might be a little bit older, a little more conservative, mm-hmm. in the fact that, yeah, TikTok does put a lot of money into small businesses across the United States.
So the question is, what triggered this was the ownership of the platform by a Chinese company. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fear about the Chinese politicians taking information from, or the Chinese government taking information from American users and using it for evil. It's fear-based is what a lot of this is coming from. Politically fear-based.
Yeah, it's a red scare.
It is.
And I'll say that with all honesty, because, you know, we've seen undue influence on elections from Instagram, mm-hmm. from Facebook, mm-hmm. from Twitter.
Every there's always been undue influence.
I'm not going to say there's always. That's a really horrible way to look at it.
I am tracking all the way back to some of the yellow journalists.
Hearst was an American who, you know, did get us into wars.
Yeah. And he was, you know, there was influences from, you know, European nations on in newspaper articles and radio stuff, you know, going way back. There's always been, we are not.
Well, look at Rupert Murdoch and Fox News.
There you go.
That is a one direction communication mm-hmm. that has impacted millions of Americans. Mm-hmm. Sinclair Media. Mm-hmm. That's a conglomeration. It's owned in America. And it tightened down what was communicated on the local news channels. Mm-hmm.
The concern with this bill is that they are adversarially owned, that we are not allies with China, so they're going to take our information and use it for nefarious purposes. Unlike if it was a Belgian-owned company, which we are allies with, it wouldn't be an issue. At least that's the inference, implication. That's what they're saying.
It's as if they're ignoring the fact that information.
It's already out there. Yeah, there's
it's already
there's nothing. This is not new. This the grabbing and using of that of information on the internet has been going since day one, maybe day two.
Big data is a very viable thing. Mm-hmm. And to just target one platform that's youth oriented mm-hmm. is kind of ignores the fact of, hey, this is a way that we can figure out how the youth is communicating mm-hmm. and what messages they're communicating.
Yeah, exactly.
And
knocking it down.
Our person was concerned over the disproportionate messaging concerning Palestine.
Okay. So basically what you've got is we don't like the bias we're seeing, so we're going to shut it down?
Yeah. And that's, you know, mind you, they are in the House of Representatives. They might have access to data that we don't have.
Maybe.
The youth, because we, oh my gosh, we have a youth in our house.
Yes, we do.
We do ask them questions, you know. He was very concerned over the treatment of Palestine. Mm-hmm. Because there's a certain point where you just like look at just the body count. And it's like, okay, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Really early, I went on and like looked at it and said, you know, ceasefire is really good.
Yeah.
Because people are dying.
Yeah. Unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. That's a problem with religious wars.
Well, it's not, I'm not going to view it as a religious war.
Okay.
It's two government bodies going at each other.
And taking everybody with them.
And one side is very overarmed and very well supplied. Mm-hmm. And the other is, you know, basically being cratered.
Yeah. ceasefire would be a good thing.
Yeah, ceasefire would be an awesome thing to stop that loss of life and figure out what the heck's going on, and you know, get some people to the table talking to each other.
Yeah, that'd be a great thing.
Because that's what it's all about, is that communication.
It's always about communication. When you shut down communication lines, people, you know, well, they'll find new ways to communicate. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. If this particular platform is shut down, mm-hmm. if TikTok is shut down, we know there's at least three others waiting in the wings to launch immediately.
The hard thing about that is the distribution.
Oh, it's absolutely that doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately, but there's a lot of people.
Because we've had a bunch of different platforms that have launched after kind of the semi-demise of Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Blue Sky and
Mastodon.
Oh, I hadn't heard about Mastodon.
Threads.
Yeah, Threads is. I'm using Threads a little bit. That's a meta. That's a Meta product, I believe.
Yeah, it's a Facebook. Let's boom it. Let's call it as it is. That's, you know, someone getting in there and closing the door. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a platform where they've really capitalized on it. Their stocks are going down. So, yeah, heading the competition off of the pass, mm-hmm. very good for their business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's pretty mercenary.
Having, you know, competition out there only leads to stronger companies.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That's absolutely true.
That's one of the things that we've always advocated about. It's like, hey, cool. If you got someone that you can communicate better with, go see them.
There you go.
And that's really important is look around who's advocating for that free market, that communication, mm-hmm. who's saying, hey, private data should be kept private.
Mm-hmm.
And
what are they doing to help keep that happening?
A good example of that is the medical data. Concerning reproductive care,
mm-hmm.
or gender affirming care,
mm-hmm.
there are folks out there that data is out there and it's being shared willy nilly. There's others that are putting in lawsuits to stop the sharing of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really about protecting the citizens and the data,
let's protect everybody, shall we?
Let's protect everyone. Mm-hmm. Let's stop that. I mean, there were some amazing information being shared when it came to, oh my gosh, who's going to a Planned Parenthood clinic?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's just, it's kind of frightening actually.
And so, yeah, you've got social platforms that are sharing that information, mm-hmm. at a cost that are American owned.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just because we're American doesn't mean we're blameless.
Oh no.
No, not by
no,
long,
not at all.
No, no, no. Think about how much data we're mining from Chinese users of Facebook and TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's yeah. That's
well, it's not we.
Let's
get rid of that myth right now.
Okay.
The companies.
The companies. It's not even the government. It's the companies and their data mining. And they always will. And that's not going to stop because there's money to be involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's been more than one point. Time where someone's been, they had their hands slapped, mm-hmm. from a government entity going and asking a private company for certain information.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Apple is notorious for saying nope.
Yeah. And there's been some backdoors on that.
Yeah, there have been.
So yeah, it's, if it's a data privacy issue, make it truly a data privacy issue.
Yeah. Absolutely. Don't just pinpoint one thing because it annoys you.
If you want to support small businesses, mm-hmm. then this is the time you want to support small businesses.
Mm-hmm. TikTok's not a small business, but that's not what you're saying.
I'm not saying TikTok. It's the end users that are utilizing.
Oh, they're using to make a living.
To make a living, to increase their distribution chain of their goods and services.
There you go.
It's used by an amazing amount of small businesses. Mm-hmm. We, as limited and as gross as our small little presence on TikTok is,
mm-hmm.
For Matt and Susie, I've still managed to sell a couple policies off of it.
That's right. So it does work.
Because people have found me.
Yep.
And like I said, boring as watching the paint dry.
Yeah, he's not the most exciting on TikTok. I'm a little more dynamic than you are.
Yes. And at the same time, I'm presenting stuff that is just, you know, it's...
Oh, it's paint drying. It's insurance. It's not exciting. It's that's insurance. What you're saying. It's not that you're not exciting. It's that insurance isn't exciting.
It's not. But yeah, I'm not doing, you know, a crazy dance. No. I'm, you know.
I would pay to see you a crazy. I've got a dollar. I'm like, you can do it. I will film you to do a crazy dance.
Crazy dance.
Yeah, put it on TikTok.
Okay.
So, anyway, the answer is yes, you can buy unstuffed Oreos. Mm-hmm. You can buy them in bulk off of Amazon.
Oh, bulk. They look like chalk or something?
No, they are actually Oreo branded cookies.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the answer to that question.
So this does not necessarily mean that there's going to be a ban on TikTok. No. It means that it goes to the Senate. And this is the point where everyone's going to call their senator and say, hey.
Knock it off or support it.
Knock it off. This is where we communicate. This is the grapevine.
Mm-hmm. There you go. This
is the back fence where neighbors talk to each other.
There you go. That's a great analogy. I love that.
And anyone who's been in business longer than 2 minutes understands the importance of a grapevine.
Yep, because word of mouth is king still.
And if the ban moves forward, you know, 180 days to diversify, anyone who they sell it to is gonna have problems, mm-hmm. because it's going to be another media company. And that instantly will bring the FTC down. So that creates that problem there. It's
super complex.
So yeah, we should, you know, really look at it. And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. If you want to do the protect private media, go for it. I'll introduce you to the Medical Information Bureau that's been around for 100 years.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
So hey, have a great day.
Talk to you next week. We'll be here at on Suzilla, Wenatchee Insurance, here in lovely Wenatchee, Washington. Come see us if you have questions about your insurance.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.